Listen and earn to the Profit Express with your host, Tim Healy. For over a decade, Tim has helped the Long Island business community create sales systems through sales system development, training, and coaching. Tim is also the president and owner of Healy Success Solutions. Get ready as we create big-time profits for your business today. Now, here's your host, Tim Healy.
Well, hello and welcome to the Profit Express. I am Tim Healy, and you're invited to join me each and every week as we tackle the hottest stories, topics, and trends facing you. That's right, you, today's entrepreneur, today's small business owner. And we do it right here on the Profit Express on 88.7 FM WRHU. So thank you for listening. Thanks for being on board, sharing some time with me today. And while you're on Facebook, you can check out the Profit Express page. Give us a like, a thumbs up. Let us know what you thought about today's guest. You're going to love her, by the way. And guests you'd love to hear on the show at work, getting them on just for you. And you can follow me in the show on Twitter as well, at Radio Tim Healy. That's at Radio Tim Healy. So again, thanks for listening. Now, today's show is special. It's a special show because it's for all of the fabulous female fans. Yes, that's right. Fabulous female fans of the Profit Express. And if you are one of those fabulous female friends, and maybe you are feeling unappreciated at work, if your confidence hasn't quite caught up to your competence, if you would promote a friend before yourself, or maybe you just can't find the courage to say no, okay, I'm talking to you. You know, you're shaking your head as you're listening right now. Okay, you can feel that. Then you're going to love today's guest because she is going to show you how to work it. That's right. She's a pioneer in the world of social media marketing. She's the CEO of a multi-million dollar social media agency called Likeable Media, as well as the host of a hugely successful podcast, All the Social Ladies. And now she's the author of a brand new book called, you guessed it, Work It. Secrets for Success from the Boldest Women in Business. And she is Carrie Kirpin. She's here today to share the secrets for success with you so you can work it. So welcome aboard to the Profit Express, Carrie Kirpin. How are you?
Thank you so much, Tim. I'm so excited to be on.
Well, thank you very much. And I got to tell you, as a male business owner, as a male radio show host, this book obviously is written by women. You interviewed all great business successful women, but there's a lot for men to take from this book, a lot for men to read in this book.
You bet. I like to say that it's definitely suitable or useful for men or women, but at this moment in time, women really need a book like this.
100% agree, but I just thought I'd give a shout out to the men to also
you
buy
bet.
The book as well.
You so. Bet. I have had a lot of men who have enjoyed the book.
Absolutely. So again, thanks for spending some time with us today. Now, let's get right into it. One of my favorite topics is networking. All small business owners use networking as a powerful tool in growing their business. And that first chapter is your network is your net worth. And you share a story. It's actually one of my favorite stories in the book, of how you connected with Sheryl Sandberg, the COO over at Facebook. And you did it by being memorable, by being meaningful. Can you share that story with us?
Sure. So I had long admired Sheryl Sandberg way before, you know, she had written Lean In, and she, you know, I admired her from her days at Google. I mean, she really was a star and a killer operator, and
right.
I identified with her quite a bit. And so when she went over to Facebook to be the chief operating officer, I felt like I just had to know her. You
mm-hmm.
know, and in my mind, with networking, you know, you can, with enough effort and smart activity, get in touch with just about anybody. And so the way I chose to get in touch with Sheryl was just a pretty quick email, you know, saying the impact that she had on my life. You know, I saw this article and read this, saw this video, and it was really meaningful to me.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you so much as a woman in business. Then I mentioned a few common connections we had, and then I mentioned that I was going to be in the area near Menlo Park, which is where their headquarters is located. I was going to be in the area, and would she like to meet up? And so I was shocked when I got a reply saying that, sure, she would be happy to meet up. She can't see that day. Am I in the Bay Area often? Well, the reality was I'm really never in the Bay Area. I had one client there. This is like once and ever. But, of course, I replied with a very small white lie, which is, sure, I'm there all the time. Just you name the day. And
absolutely.
I'll be there.
Yeah.
Of course, what you have to do. So she gave me the day, and off I flew, and I was very, very excited. And I was in the Facebook lobby waiting, and then waiting some more, and then waiting some more. And Cheryl, being, you know, the chief operating officer of Facebook, got tied up. So finally, she sends me an email. Of course, she thinks I'm in the area all the time, so this is no big deal. She probably thinks I'm, like, around the corner. I'm literally sitting in the Facebook lobby. She's like, I'm so sorry. Can you do tomorrow? Well, I couldn't do tomorrow because I had an activity with my kids, and I had to get home for this activity. I was like, I can't miss this. I promised them.
Right.
And
right.
So I said, I'm so sorry, I can't. I'll catch you next time. And, you know, I have kept, she felt bad. I kept our relationship through the years. She sent me copies lean in. I would send her things about Likeable and our company's progress. And then eventually I decided to come clean, and I said to her, hey, you know, now at this point, she's much bigger. She's, like, you know, very, very well known.
Right.
She's coming out with her book, Option B, you know, all of these things. And I say to her, Cheryl, I have to tell you, it was a white lie. I was never in the Bay Area often, and I just wanted to tell you this because I want you to know that, you know, how meaningful you were to me and all of these different things. And then she was so gracious and so lovely, and she volunteered to be interviewed for the book. And that is how I got Charles Sandberg to be in my book and in my network.
Well, you know what that is? You know, it's about being, you know, you speak about it in the book. You're not an extrovert, and your
right.
approach, correct me if I'm wrong, it's kind of what I got from reading the book. And again, that book is Work It. Today's guest is Carrie Kirpin, is about being meaningful, being memorable, not, you know, necessarily pushing in your face and loud, but just being consistent and giving a reason to stay connected.
Yeah, I think specifically for women, we tend to have an aversion to networking because we tend to fear being pushy, right? Because
mm-hmm.
when a woman is pushy, she's deemed sort of unlikable. And so it's a very challenging thing for us. And for me, you know, what I really found is that there is no one right way to network. You have to do exactly what works for you. Some people prefer reaching out to people via Twitter. Some mm-hmm. people via email. Some people go to networking events. Some people send people really interesting and unique gifts. You have to do what works for you. And no matter what you do, you have to cut through the clutter of the loads and loads of other people who are trying to do the exact same thing. So it's really about being memorable.
And obviously work is she's in the book. Now, early
yeah.
in your career, which is a huge score, by the way, early on yeah. in your career, you were in a management training seminar. And they introduced you to the whole idea of what's called a personal advisory board. Now, at the time, that was new to you. You didn't know what it was.
Yes.
So what is yes. it, and why should every woman out there have one?
Okay. So I had grown up and been taught, like most of us, that the way to success when you're young and you're trying to get ahead is to find a good mentor.
Mm-hmm.
You want to find a great mentor. I had a lot of trouble with that, and I'll tell you why. First of all, I think that the formal mentor relationship, especially outside of a specific large corporate environment where it's kind of mandated, is very challenging. It almost always leads to disappointment. Either the mentor doesn't have enough time for the mentee, or the mentee doesn't put in enough effort, and the mentor feels like, what am I doing? And so ultimately, I was very inspired by this conference I went to where I was sitting in my first management training. The guy was sitting in front of me, and he said, draw a circle. And so we all drew a circle. And he said, this circle is your table. And I said, okay. And he said, list for me everyone who sits at your table. And I said, what does that mean? Do you mean at my dinner table? Do you mean, what do you mean, a table of mentors? Like, explain it.
Right.
And he said, basically, that look at it as the personal board of directors that sits on the board of you. Like, you're a person,
mm-hmm.
and you have a variety of different challenges in your work, in your life, all of these different things, and you need to be your best self. Who do you go to get there? And having a more informal kind of relationship with a larger group of people allows you to tap into a variety of skill sets and interests, and also allows it to be less formal. It allows you to have informal relationships that are symbiotic in that you're adding value to their lives and they can most certainly add value to yours. That was a major, major game changer for me.
So now is this, you know, obviously, listen, you're hugely successful at this point in your career. You're a pioneer in the social media world. But is this somebody, you know, there's a younger woman listening right now who might be, you know, really entering the workforce for the first time. You know, maybe she's early 20s. Is this something that somebody with, you know, no real career experience, that can they develop their own personal advisory board?
Of course they can. Not only can they definitely should. You know, your mom can be on your personal advisory board. Your former teacher, a coworker can be on your advisory board. It has to be people. And the idea is that it should be diverse. It shouldn't all be focused around one area of your life, right? I mean, in the book, there's a whole quiz around this. Like, who do you go to when you have a money question? Like, many times you talk to a mentor about how to grow in your career, mm-hmm. but you might not say, hey, I want to make X. How do I get to that? You know, people, a lot of times, especially women, don't feel comfortable talking about money
right.
with the same person that they're talking about how to grow their career. It's a funny thing, but it's true. So you really should have, you know, someone you're comfortable talking about money with, someone you're comfortable talking about career growth with, someone you're comfortable talking about your actual life with, like, okay, you know, especially you're just starting out in your career, mm-hmm. when is the right time to have kids? You know,
sure.
these types of questions that we do, as women in particular, and men, need to talk about.
Yeah, and you want some diversity to that board as well.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And this is the Profit Express right here on 88.7 FM WRHU, and today is a special show for the ladies, the female fans, let me say, of the Profit Express, because today's guest is Carrie Kirpin. She's author of the brand new book, Work It. She's CEO of Likeable Media, also the host of a really popular podcast, All the Social Ladies. And she's sharing her secrets for success with you today listening. Now, which kind of brings me to my next point. One of the chapters in the book is called Getting the Gig. And I've read, obviously, you certainly know this. There's a lot of research that shows women are especially hesitant to advocate for themselves. So there's a woman listening right now, and perhaps, you know, she might be a day away from an interview for that dream job. And now she has access to Carrie Kirpin. What advice are you giving her?
Well, the advice I would give her is the same advice I give every woman that I talk to that I think really struggles when they're looking at whether or not they should apply or move towards the next step in their career.
Mm.
Men will apply for a job when they need 60% of the qualifications in on a job description. 60%. The rest of it, they'll get there. They're confident enough. They can talk through. Fine. Women, it's 90 to 100% of the qualifications, which means that we're not seeing until we're 100% positive that we're qualified for it. And the reality is that we're focusing far too much on confidence
right.
without giving as much weight to the most important thing that we as women are really lacking as per the research, which is confidence. We
yes.
need to learn about our accomplishments in a way that really showcases who not only who we are, but who we can be.
Mm-hmm.
Don't worry about meeting every qualification out there. Just worry about confidently presenting yourself and go in there saying, I'm this job.
So it's women just, I guess, naturally, it's a tendency is how they were raised culturally. I mean, there's a lot of different factors that can go into it. They focus so much more on, you know, the degree, the experience, the competencies, instead of just saying, hey, I got this, I'm nailing this, this job's mine.
100%. This is rooted in years and years of psychology and just overall training. If you listen, one of the women in the book, Reshma Sajani, talks about, had a great TED talk with many millions of views that talks about how we teach our boys to be brave, but we teach our girls to be perfect. And we need to be able to channel girls to be able to swing, sometimes miss, but get up there and swing. And that, I think, ultimately is really what's going to be the game changer for women, is having the confidence to go up and do it. And I see it more and more every single day.
You know what? I mean, listen, I don't have to tell you this, but the timing of your book I think it's really good for a whole host of reasons. You know, the political spectrum, what's going on, recent marches, the equality of pay. So I think you're going to have a lot of very eager women out there wanting to get the message of work it. Now, what do you think is the greatest advantage? Because, you know, we say, you know, we think that men have a lot of advantages over women, like, you know, the boys club being one. But from your perspective, you know, as a female business owner, entrepreneur, what is the one greatest advantage as business owners that a woman would have over a man?
One of the greatest advantages that women would have over men is the, I think ultimately, and again, this is a generalization, but I do think that with that, you know, worry about competence comes a real focus on being really good at what you do. And I think that women who are stepping up to the plate as business owners, like we're far more risk averse. We don't always take the risk.
Right.
So when we do, you better bet that we're going to hit. And so I think ultimately when you're hiring a woman, you're hiring us as a, who's a business owner, you know that you've hired somebody who's pushed past that sort of innate desire not to take a risk and then pushed forward and done it. And I think that that ultimately, you know that you're hiring somebody who's incredibly focused in that area. I think that would be the biggest advantage. I think that the biggest advantage for being an entrepreneur, of course, is that we have control over our time. I think a lot of people go into business for the potential for money and the excitement about big money and striking it big. For me, becoming an entrepreneur was always about freedom of time.
Right,
it was
right.
always about that, and the money was an amazing byproduct of that.
So that was it was the lifestyle focus and the dollars followed.
It was a lifestyle focus was my initial choice to become an entrepreneur. It was very scary to take that risk, especially for me. I had a child when I launched the business with my husband, Dave, and we already had a daughter. And so, I was very risk averse. I knew that I wanted control over my time because I believe that work-life balance for women incredibly difficult. It's difficult for everybody, really, but for women in particular, they're held to an impossible standard. And I just wanted freedom from that. And then once I launched the business, once that pushed me so much that I wanted that freedom of time, then I was like, now I want to figure out how to make it a lot of money. It is the Profit Express. Who love profit.
We totally embrace it here. We are profit friendly.
I love it.
Absolutely.
Listen, profit.
That on a sidebar, I loved one of your, I hope I'm quoting you right.
Yes.
Revenue is for vanity. Profits are for sanity.
Damn straight.
I
Revenue
love that
is vanity.
Line.
Profit is sanity. You know why? I was surrounded by all of these men who were running social media agencies. We were one of the first social media agencies out there.
Yeah.
And I was surrounded by these men who pushed, like they were big thought leaders, very loud in the face, pushed to revenue at any cost. They did not care what the profit was. They just wanted to push to grow to be these big gorilla behemoths. And there's something to be said for that. There's something to be said. For me, I had the same desire to grow, but was comfortable growing slowly so that I could maximize profitability. And when I maximized profitability, I was able to invest more in my employees. I was able to decide what I wanted to do to fuel growth. I was able to do it and be debt-free.
Yeah.
I mean, looking at these things, for me, as a woman who is more averse to risk taking, this was the way to do it. I mean, it was definitely, I look at it as one of my best business decisions, but there are many, many people who would look at it and say, hey, you didn't swing far enough. But for me, I take calculated risks, and I thought that worked for me brilliantly.
Absolutely. You know, proof positive, look where you guys are today. And today's guest is Carrie Kirpin, CEO of Likeable Media. She's author of the brand new book, which you're talking about today, Work It, Secrets for Success from the Boldest Women in Business. Now, I read the story in the book. I thought it was very funny. Hopefully you can laugh at this story now. it's about instinct. You know, instinct is huge in business, okay? There was a pivot. You know, I had to bring this up. There was a pivotal story from a serious perspective for your life, at a certain point in your life.
Yeah.
And it involves, oddly enough, an owl tattoo. What did the owl teach you?
Oh, God. So this is actually a exercise for business people. I'll tell you the story, which comes from my college days, and then I'll tell you, you know, how I think it relates to business. So
yeah.
I was in college. I was living in, I had moved back to New York. I was at Emerson College in Boston. I moved back to New York to try and make a relationship work. I have no idea why I would do this in college, but I did, and it didn't work. I was miserable. I chopped all my hair off. I didn't even look like myself. I gained a ton of weight. It was bizarre.
Right.
And I just was like in a very low point in my life, and I started seeing a therapist. It was the first time I'd ever been to therapy, and she was like kind of woo-woo, you know, into like gestalt therapy, and she was doing this exercise. She was like, let's do a meditation. And I was like, you're nuts, but I'll try it. And she was like, close your eyes and breathe, and picture the first animal that comes to you. So I did it, and I'm like, okay, I see an owl. She's like, okay, an owl, very wise owl. Where is it? And I, you know, describe it. So I'm describing it, and it's flying over Boston. So that meditation exercise is called an animal of influence, and it was flying, in fact, over Boston, which for me helped me figure out that where I really wanted to be was back at school,
right.
Going back to Emerson and finishing my degree and doing what I needed to do. And on the way up to Emerson, I decided to haphazardly stop off of I-91 in Connecticut and get an owl tattoo, which was like the dumbest because I'm not a tattoo person at all. So I love that story because it shows total gut.
Sure.
And total silliness. What I think for business owners, you know, I've done a lot of visualization exercises.
Yeah.
And they are the most powerful. When you take the time to truly understand how to read your gut, your business decisions are faster and better. And it's really, you know, it's very simple to say, go with your gut. You know, a lot of people say that. But it's how to read your gut is what's key. And I think being able to sit in silence, whatever type of silence you can, really helps you get there.
Sorry I had to bring up the owl tattoo story, but I loved it.
I know. I wish I could. I don't even have the guts to get it removed. I feel like I have to.
No,
keep
you
it
gotta keep
part
it.
Of me. Maybe it'll be a lesson. I know. It's like a lesson to my daughter.
Yeah.
I would actually kill them if I knew that they did that on their way up to college. I'd be like, I'm gonna, that's it. But whatever.
Good, I loved it.
Whatever.
So again,
poor
this
choices.
Is the Prophet Express right here at 88.7 FM WRHU. Today's guest. Well, actually, the show today is for the ladies, the female fans of the Prophet Express. Because a lot of times, you know what? Women are reluctant to self-promote. Women wait for the confidence to catch up to the competence. They're afraid to say no. So many things that women are dealing with in business, in life, in their careers. And we're having on today Carrie Kirpin, CEO of Likeable Media. And we're talking about her brand new book, Work It, Secrets for Success from the Boldest Women in Business. So we're talking about saying no. That's a hard thing to do. Hard thing to do. And one of the examples in the story that I thought took a lot of courage. You said no to one of your biggest clients. I believe it's about 25% of your revenue. So that's tremendous.
Yep.
And they were requesting an RFP, request for proposal, for those who don't know. And for a number of factors, you decided to say no. How did you find that courage? That 25% of revenue.
Well, you know, here's the thing. They were 25% of our revenue, and they decided to issue this RFP, which means basically it's like if you're dating someone, an RFP is like, okay, you're dating someone, and they say, you know what? I'm going to send a call out that I'm actually available to date other people. I'm going to go on some dates and see if I like them better than you.
Right.
And then if I don't, then I'm totally dating you. But I just want to test it out. Right? So that's the issue around an RFP is that I would have had to do a whole dog and pony show and whole thing for them to show them what we do, even though they already knew what we do. And I would be competing against others. And so I knew that, in effect, declining to participate in the RFP would be resigning the business. I knew that.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I decided to do, let's say I decided to participate in the RFP, I would have spent a lot of hours on that RFP only to lose. I mean, there would be a sliver of a chance I could win, but it would be highly unlikely.
Yeah.
And so I would spend all that time, but instead I could spend time hustling to try and figure out how to make up that revenue. which I probably would have lost anyway. So I used the opportunity to say no and go out kind of with class. I left a very good impression on them. Mm-hmm, I said, you know, I love you, and, you know, I would love to participate, but honestly, I think my time is better spent serving your business today through the end of our term. And if you need us, you know where to go. I mean, you know our work. And so otherwise, you wouldn't be looking for other people to date. You know what I mean? Like, that's it. We've already dated. And so I think that ultimately finding the courage came from deciding that it was the best business decision for my staff. You know, I was looking out there. I was like, oh, my God, 25% of you could be gone if I don't replace this revenue. And I needed to spend the time replacing the revenue, not chasing the revenue of people who I thought probably wouldn't work.
Looking back, was it the right decision?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. I replaced the revenue and then some. I love the client and all of the people there, and I'm sure I'll work with them again.
Absolutely. As I was reading, I'm like, wow. I even cringed a little bit. I'm like, man, that took some guts. It really, really did.
It did.
Absolutely.
It did. But you know what? In business, you're going to make a lot of moves. They're not always going to be the right move, but you'll always learn from them. And look, it's a perpetual roller coaster always. You always have good days. You always have bad days. You just got to really learn to ride it. It's really what makes an entrepreneur, right? It's that stomach of steel that you can go through all of that. You got to have a stomach of steel.
You know what? And again, today's guest, Carrie Kirpin, we're talking about her brand new book, Work It. She's the CEO of Likeable Media. And you shared some great stories, some great strategies for the women out there in their careers, in their jobs, businesses. But I honestly thought I'd be remiss if I didn't bring up the topic. And it's something I can't understand being a guy, actually. But, you know, obviously, you know, being a woman and being a mom is a pivotal role for so many women, of course. And you got some great advice from one of your idols. I believe it was Cass Lazaro. Did I get that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, I was reading it as, you know, I'm fortunate enough to be a dad, you know, but I was reading it as a dad. Yep. I'm like, this is really good stuff. And I did want you to share that as, you know, with the listeners. What was that advice that she shared with you?
Yep. So, you know, Cass Lazaro built a business, Buddy Media, with her husband, sold for over $800 million Salesforce. I mean, they really had a gorilla of a startup, okay? And they started it from nothing. And I was always impressed because she had these three kids, and I always see these great pictures and all these things, and I say, you know, I want to know how she did it and how she managed to raise that family and build a business of that size, right? That's a behemoth. That's really wild. And so she said, you know, a couple things. One thing that she said that was so profound to me was that, you know, yes, you can have it all, but you can't have it all at the same time. In other words, you're not going to be great at everything at the same time. You're not going to be able to be great at business and great at parenting and great at self-care and all of these things all at once. And I think that, in particular, we're held to a different standard, which is that, you know, when we're at work, we're expected to act as if we don't have children, right?
I mean, you have to
be fully focused on your job.
Sure.
And yet, when we're at home, we're expected to parent like we don't have a job. So the concept of balance is very, very challenging. Ultimately, I think her advice really was what said it best was, you know, outsource as much as you can, either on the business side or home side. Nobody gives an award for most tired mom is one of her famous things that she says. You know, like, really, you don't need to bake the cupcakes. You can buy the cupcakes. And ultimately, it's just about understanding that you will be perpetually succeeding in any one area at any one time, and you will also be perpetually not doing as well as you want in any one area at any one time. And giving yourself the permission to understand that and accept that, that's what makes it great.
You know, as I was reading that story, I thought of my wife, and I smiled because it was just so much her experience too. So she's reading the book. I already halfway through the book, I said, "Hun, you got to read this book. You got to read this book." So
good.
Listen, Carrie, This is obviously it's the timing of your book, I think, is
yep.
perfect. Hey, great for you. Timing is a lot in business. You know that.
Yes.
I wish you much success with it. And certainly, you know what? It's a great read for men, too. There's a lot of great business ideas in there.
Yep.
So you really hit the ball out of the park on this one.
Thank you so, so much, Tim. I really appreciate it. I appreciate your support. And, I've been loving the launch and everything associated with it.
So, well, hey, good luck on that, but you don't need my luck. And thanks so much for being on the Profit Express today.
Thanks so much, Tim.
You got it. And that was Carrie Kirpin, CEO of Likeable Media, and we're discussing her latest book, Work It, which is all about secrets for success from the boldest women in business. Really a great read. Obviously, it's got a focus for women, of course. I read it cover to cover, and it really was an overall great read on everything from courage, you know, branding, selling yourself, getting that gig, networking. So lots to learn for everybody, of course.